Lord. Thank you, men. I'm going to tell you what, I have figured it out. You can't get enough prayer. You can't get enough prayer. That's the number one thing that everyone needs in their hearts and in their lives. I was listening to Jennifer sing there, and you know, if you're listening, the Lord's always speaking to you, you know? Sometimes we're not listening. Sometimes we're busy. We have all these other things that occupy our time. And I wrote down, I said, thanks for faithful fathers. You know, there were fathers before us that instilled in each and every one of our lives the people and the things we do today. And I just want to thank God for all the faithful fathers who came before us. Because I'm going to tell you what, without them, who knows where we would be. And without the Lord in their lives, they never would have been able to instill those quality things about God in any of our hearts and lives. So thanks for all the faithful fathers who have imitated our faithful Heavenly Father. You know, before I got saved, I had a good father. My father instilled lots in me. I still thank him today, and he's been dead and gone a long time now. But I still thank the memory of him for what he instilled in my life, even though I was not following God. But he instilled the values of the Heavenly Father in my life. And that's what faithful fathers are supposed to be doing. You know that? Faithful fathers listen to God. Faithful fathers are always careful to imitate God. And I want to start out with a little scripture over here in Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31. You know, there's something about passing on to the next generation, all you faithful fathers out there. You know, I don't know about y'all, but I don't know that I always did the best job with my children, but I did the best I could with what I had, where I was at that particular moment. And after I come to know the Lord Jesus, I tried to make up for lost time and do even better than I had done before because I found a new person to imitate in fatherhood, and that's our Heavenly Father. So passing on is what we're supposed to be doing as faithful fathers. We pass things on. So Deuteronomy 31, I'm just going to read verse 7 and 8. Y'all know about old Moses and Joshua, you know? Old Moses, he had a lot of young men around him. But it always seemed like Joshua was always showing up. He was always right there. He was a part of Moses' ministry. He was a part of it, an integral part of it. He was a trusted person in Moses' life. And so Moses imparted to him many, many things. And I like this right here. It says in verse 7, it says, then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all of Israel, just the whole congregation. He pointed out Joshua, the whole congregation. He pointed out Joshua in the sight of Israel. Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to you, to their fathers, to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. Can I tell you what, faithful fathers? Your children are needing that inheritance from each one of you. They need that inheritance. Moses was passing this on and telling it in the sight of all of Israel that Joshua was the man, pointing him out. And then he said, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. In other words, keep the faith. Be faithful in your walk with God. Be faithful. I'm going to tell you, I've told y'all before, our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world, their number one request is for prayer. And their number one prayer request is that they remain faithful to God. Because when you endure the persecutions that they endure, the hardships that they endure, the constant beatings, the constant things that come against them, sometimes it's hard to remember the goodness of God when everything around you is falling to pieces, when people are being slain in your sight, when your homes are being burned. Being faithful is key to serving God. So that's what we need to be passing on as fathers, as faithful fathers. We pass on that faithfulness to our children. And then over in Joshua 24, verse 15. You know, Joshua, he got a hold of it. And he understood exactly what he was supposed to be doing. And before he died, after conquering all this land, then he passed on to those who would come after him. And he told them, he said, you got to choose this day who you will serve. Can I tell you that faithful fathers always confront their children? They can do it in love. They love them, but you confront them. You don't just push the things aside. You tell them like it is. You tell them the truth. You tell them the truth. You know, sometimes the truth is hard to hear. You ever heard that before? I know I've heard some truth that was hard to hear. But I'm going to tell you what, the truth is the truth because it's always the truth. And you need to pay attention to it because it is still good for you even if you don't like it. Even when we don't like the truth, we need to pay attention to it. That's what we need to instill in our children, in the generations that come after us. We instill that faithfulness of listening to God, listening to Holy Spirit when He speaks, being sensitive when He does speak. You see, because if you're not sensitive to the Spirit, He can be talking to you and you won't hear Him. I'm telling you, you got to be listening with that spiritual ear. You're not going to hear Him with this carnal ear. My ears only hear about 50% of the time anyway, but I'm going to tell you what, the ears of the Spirit, they always hear. They have perfect hearing if you will allow them to listen. Perfect hearing. Joshua 24:15, it seems evil to you to serve the Lord. Choose for yourselves this day who you will serve, whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Listen, he served notice on them that day. You got to make up your mind what you're about to do. You need to make up your mind to be faithful. You need to make up your mind to do right. You need to make up your mind to know the truth, speak the truth, and don't back up. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can I tell you that a man who kneels before God in the Spirit can stand in front of anyone? That's the truth. Because you see, when God is the person, is the being in your life, when you are filled with His Spirit, nothing will conquer you. Nothing will be victorious over you. Being faithful to Him is key. Being a faithful father is key to raising children who fear the Lord. And that's not a fear where you're afraid He's going to beat you up. That is a reverence. That is an awesome, I can't even find a word for it. It is so far out of this world that God becomes everything. He becomes anything and everything in your heart and in your life because you know that He has your best interest at heart. You see, that's what a faithful father does, is he has their best interest at heart. You think about that. God always wants the best for us. You know that? He didn't want evil for us. He wants the best for us. We're the ones that go astray. We're the ones that wander off. God is right where you left him. All you got to do is go back. All you got to do is repent of it and go back. You see, that's what a faithful father does, is he's always standing there ready for you. Always standing there. You know, over in 2 Samuel 12, starting at about verse 15, old King David, y'all know the king there, he committed many sins, but he was known as a man with a heart after God. And he was. You read all about King David. He made his share of mistakes. He made his share of things that he totally regretted. But he was still a man with a heart for God. He always repented. When it came to his knowledge, he repented of it. Well, you know, he had really messed up there. And he paid a price for it. He didn't die, but he had a little boy that did. Had a little boy, you know, with Uriah. I mean, not Uriah, with Bathsheba. But David, when he realized all this, you can read it right there. At verse 15, it says, and then Naaman, he's the one pointed him out, said, "You the man, you know, you the man." And there in verse 15, it said, "The Lord struck the child that was that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill." Now, this was a punishment for David. This was a punishment. David therefore pleaded with God for the child. Did you know that you're, as a faithful father, that you're going to stand in the gap? You think about it, dads. You know, I've told people from the pulpit several different times, there's three things you don't mess with: my wife, my children, or my checkbook, and not necessarily in that order. But you see, I'm going to stand in the gap for my family. Don't come after one of my kids, even if they're wrong. Even if they're wrong, because I'm going to stand up for them. I'm going to stand in the gap for them. You see, that's what a faithful father does. Well, can I tell you that even when you're wrong, God stands in the gap for you. Jesus is right there for you. He is pleading with the Father. Hey, Father, I know this one. I know this one, Lord. I understand, but I know him. That's what God does for us as a faithful father, even as David was doing for this little kid that was about to die, pleading with the Lord for him. It says he went even further. It says that David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. He was serious about his child being healed. It wasn't a flippant thing to him. You see, because he knew God. He knew God. He was no stranger to who God was and who God is and should be in our lives. The same way that the Lord pleads with us. Don't you know that Holy Spirit, with God's direction, is always calling? He's always calling. It says, lest the Spirit calls, lest the Spirit leads, you will not come. Can I tell you that he is faithful to call? He is faithful to plead for you to come. He is faithful for you to walk in the Spirit with him. He is faithful. That's what God has instilled in our hearts and in our lives. But do we do it? Do we turn away from it? Turn our back on it? You see, David knew that this was a punishment for him, but he never turned his back on that child. He stood in that gap for that child. He pleaded with the Lord for that child's life. And then it says, David pleaded for the child, fasted, went in, lay on the ground all night. And on the seventh day, you know, that seven, I'm not a numbers guy. And there's a lot of people that think there's something in every number that there is, and that's fine. But I do know that for the Lord, that number seven is that time of completion. It's that time of completion. Well, on the seventh day, this child died. You know, I have to just believe that God knew that David was in full repentance for what he had done. He knew that David was not only in full repentance, but he had come to grips with that punishment and what he needed to do. Did you know that David didn't get mad about that? David didn't jump up and down, throw a fit, go out and kill 10,000 people. He didn't bring his army in and start killing all the priests off because they didn't help get that child healed. What did David do? When he found out that the child had died, David got up off the ground. He went and got himself cleaned up. He anointed himself. He put on some fresh clothes. He went to the house of God and he worshiped the Lord. Can I tell you that faithful fathers always set the example for the children? They set a faithful example for the children to follow. Very clear, very clear. It's right here in Scripture. It shows you exactly what he did. So he went and he worshiped. And then after he worshiped the Lord, he came and got himself something to eat. And then he figured out that the servants were whispering. They thought he was touched. Something wrong with him. Here he was. He wasn't pleading with God anymore. He wasn't crying anymore. He had gone, got himself all cleaned up. And what did he tell them? He said, you know something? I can't bring that child back. But I can go to where he is. But I can go to where he is. You see, David understood. He understood being a faithful father meant that I show everyone who a faithful father is. Though I have lost my child, I'm still a faithful child to my faithful heavenly Father. Still faithful. God is looking for faithful fathers. He's looking for those who will follow him no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the risk, no matter what the cost, that they will follow him and set the example for those who are following. Those generations to come, all through the Word of God. You get over in the Old Testament. He was constantly setting an example for a future generation. Constantly. Do we do that? Do we constantly set that example for the future generations? You think about that, men. Do we set that example of love and mercy and gentleness and kindness and goodness? Do we set those examples? Because that's the example God sets for us. All you got to do is read in his word and he'll show you in there. So David got up, says, I cannot bring the child back, but I can go to where he is. Faithful fathers, he knew what he must do to see his child. He knew what he must do. You see, faithful fathers, they don't pull punches on things. They might try to soften the blow, but they're still going to tell you the truth. They're still going to tell you the truth. And sometimes, you know something? You got to suffer the consequence. Well, David suffered the consequence. But actually, David came out on top because he did not blame God. He did not act ungodly. You see, God, our Father in heaven, is our most excellent example of who we need to be. He is our most excellent example. I want you to turn over to another place over there in the left-hand side of your book in 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 28. That's old Solomon. You know, that's one of King David's sons. David had a lot of sons. He had a lot of sons. But only one son was picked out. And that was Solomon. A lot of sons. David loved them all. He grieved over those who were bad sons. He grieved. You can read all through there. He grieved over them. But when the Lord spoke to him and said, "This is him right here," then David set about making preparations. Can I tell you, as faithful fathers, you know something? We make preparations for our children. Y'all ever done that? Even when they're born, you start thinking about what they could become and what they ought to become and who they could be and what they ought to be. You start thinking that way. That's what a faithful father does, is he's thinking for the future. Can I tell you, that's the same thing as God. He's always thinking about the future events in each one of our lives, all those who came before us and all those who will come after us. He's always making a plan for each and every one of us. Well, that was King David for Solomon. Over in, verse 5 there, it says, "And of all my sons, for the Lord had given me many, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said to me, 'It is your son Solomon who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father.'" Then King David goes on and said, "Moreover, I will establish..." the Lord said, "Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever if he is steadfast to observe my commandments." Can I tell you what? Faithful fathers will always point it out to follow God, regardless. Regardless, because I'm going to tell you what, there is consequence to not following God. There is consequence. There's a lot of people don't believe in hell, but it's a real place, and it's totally the opposite of heaven. And can I tell you this? It is eternal. It is eternal. It's not just some fairy tale. You want an eternal burning, or you want an eternal heavenly place to be, you know? It's your choice. But you see, faithful fathers point that out, and they show their children, "Hey, if you choose to go this way, this is what you're going to get. But if you'll choose to go this way, this is what you get." Because you see, our time here is just short time, just a vapor, just a few years, and then we're out of here forever. Hey, we're going to be there a lot longer than we're going to be here. Think about it. It's been around a lot longer than we have, and it'll be around a lot longer after we're gone. You see, forever is still a long time, whether it's heaven or hell. We get the choice. We get the choice. Let's make the right choice. Let's instill in our children and all of, listen, you probably have more adopted kids out there that you deal with, maybe not on paper, but those who you can instill these values into their hearts and lives at some point in their life. Did you know that some people just need to know that they're loved? Some children need to know that they have someone who will protect them. Can I tell you that will make a difference in their lives? Oh, man. A big, 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 big difference. That they know that they are loved, that they are cared for, that someone has got their back. Just awesome. That's what faithful fathers do, whether it's their blood children or if it's another child from someone else. It doesn't make any difference. You see, they're all fair game. Can I tell you what, fathers? They're all fair game. Just like anyone who doesn't know the Lord, they are all fair game. Practice on them. They don't know what the Word of God says anyway. Practice on them. They don't know Scripture. Practice on them. Because the more you practice, the better you get. the more you understand, because you are into what the Scripture says. Pass it on. Pass it on, fathers. Pass it on, moms. Okay? Pass it on. We already had Mama's Day, but I'll preach to you too. Pass it on. Show them by the way that you do. Don't say one thing and do something different, because they're going to look at what you do quicker than they're going to hear what you say. I ought to get everybody to say amen that's a mom or a dad. Amen. I'll even amen myself. So, verse 5, we've established that Solomon is going to take up the throne. Now therefore, verse 8, now therefore in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek out all commandments of the Lord your God, and you may possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you. Here we go. First, we're with Moses and Joshua. Now we're with David and Solomon. We're passing on that inheritance. Can I tell you what? Faithful fathers pass on an inheritance. Just like the Lord passes on an inheritance to his children. By the way, you are his children if you know Jesus as your Savior. You are God's children. And he passes these things on to you through his word, through his spirit that lives within you. That's why it's so important to be filled with his spirit. To be filled with his spirit. It's a learning experience. Let me tell you, it don't just happen by osmosis. You got to work at it. You got to go after him, because there's always more than what you think there is. Always. I promise you. Just when you think you done caught up with him, he's got a new curveball he can throw at you, a new drop, a new slider, a new whatever. He's always got something more if you want it. Can I tell you that's the key? Do you want it? Do you want more? Well, you can have more, but you got to go after him. You got to go after him. And then he says, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of their thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Pretty blunt, but it's the truth. You see, they can't never say, but, or I didn't hear it, or maybe you wasn't listening, that's why you didn't hear it. No, he made sure that Solomon understood the importance of being faithful to God. That's what a faithful father does, is he makes sure that his children understand that following God is of paramount importance. Consider now, verse 10, consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. You talk about encouragement. You ever had the Lord encourage you? If you'll get alone with him, he'll encourage you. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like it with the time with him in the spirit. What an encouragement. Sometimes you'll just lose track of time when that encouragement starts pouring in. You'll lose track of time, where you are, what you're doing. But have no fear, because God will take care of you no matter what you're doing. Because he's got your attention and he will direct you, though you may not physically be in the directing mode. I guarantee you he'll take care of you. Some of y'all have had those experiences. I know you have. I know you have. I'm going to tell you what, some of the most awesome times, I've tried to pass those things on to my own children, because they need to know these things. They need to know the more of the Spirit of God that will work in their hearts and their lives if they're truly after him. Because after we die, it's just a judgment. That's what's left. You want to make sure that you're on the right side. Make sure. That's why you need to make sure each and every day, every morning when your eyeballs fly open and life hits you in the face, you need to make sure. Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasuries, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, its place of the mercy seat, and the plans for all that he had by the Spirit. Man, I'm telling you what, the first time I ever read that, I thought, my goodness, Lord, look at here, Holy Spirit is revealing to David all of these plans of things that David is not ever going to get to see. But he sees them in the Spirit. Can I tell you that's just as real to the man who believes? He sees these things in the Spirit. That's what's called faith. I see it by the Spirit. I understand, and therefore I know what it is. Solomon's the one that had to put the work into it. He had to make sure the plans were followed. And the plans for all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, of all the chambers all around, of the treasures of the house of the God, and the treasuries for the dedicated things. Can I tell you what? The dedicated things of God. When a child is dedicated to the Lord. I love child dedications. You know? That's when you make the parents promise before God that they're going to raise that child up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I've seen it do them, not only a little bitty lap baby, but older children. As their parents came to know the Lord, they saw the importance of this dedication to God. And they came and said, Pastor, we want to dedicate our children. We see the importance of this. We want to dedicate. And then we're going to do everything we can to make sure that they follow God. Everything. You know, sometimes you got grandparents and great-grandparents around. And you get all of them to come up. And you get them to promise that they're going to raise that child up in the fear and admonition of God. That is being a faithful father. The head of the household who determines what's going to happen. Just as our Father in heaven is faithful to us to let us know about that dedication of His only Son for each one of us. Think about it. See, this is not a flippant thing. It didn't just happen overnight. It's something God had planned all along. All we got to do is dig it out and get it into our own hearts and into our own minds. And then every day when we think about it, when we pray, when we come to the Lord, when we're walking in the Spirit, when we have questions about life, we get answers. We get answers to those things. Following God and being faithful to Him, He is so faithful to us. So faithful to us. I dare say this, He is more faithful to us than we are to Him. Think about it. Think about it. We got so many things that distract us and pull us aside, but you, can I tell you, that God is everywhere at all times. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. And He can handle it. Okay? He's a big God. He can handle everything all at one time. And if we had to do that, we'd be falling to pieces. Because He's handling the whole world. Have you ever thought about that day when that trumpet sounds? That's a totally different message. But that day that trumpet sounds, how awesome that will be, that sound will be heard the whole world over. Think about that. I don't know of anything loud enough that we can comprehend that's that loud. You know why it can be that way? Because He is everywhere at all times. Everywhere. He never misses nothing. See, you can't hide nothing from Him. All right, I got two more hours of notes, but we won't preach them. We're going to run through them, though. Let's turn to the book of Job. Y'all know old Job. I love Job. Chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz. Is that Uz? Uz? Old preacher told me one time, just say it how you want to say it. They don't know how to pronounce it anyway. Whose name was Job. That man was blameless, upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. He stayed away from the bad stuff. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. You see, God had blessed him. How would you like to take care of all that livestock? You had to have a big old ranch, wouldn't you? Lots of folks working for you. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, and each on their appointed day, you see, they would just take turns going from house to house. House to house. They would throw a feast here, and then they have a feast over there, and then another son's house, and go to the sister's house. And so they had fun just eating at each other's house every day. Sound like a pretty good life, huh? I don't know if they worked or not. It doesn't say they did. So they'd go feast at their houses, each on their appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to come eat with them. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them. Can I tell you what? That faithful fathers always bless and consecrate their children. You think about that. Always bless them. Can I tell you something? That if you're cursing your children, you're doing wrong. Even when they do wrong, because you see, 2 wrongs don't make it right. Even when they're doing wrong, you still bless them. How else will you draw them to you? Can I tell you what? That God, our Father in heaven, operates the same way. He blesses us to draw us to Him. He blesses us. We are consecrated. We are only righteous through His righteousness. Only. So sanctify them, and he would rise up early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For God, for Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did this regularly. Do we do that? Are we faithful enough that every day we speak of blessings? We sacrifice for our children every day without fail. It says he did it without fail. See, they are constantly on our mind. That is the way that they learn, is they see exactly what you do in preparation for them. You see, he always had their best interest at heart. And y'all know the rest of the story. You know, all his livestock was stolen. His children were killed. Servants were murdered. Everything he had was gone. He ended up sitting in the dirt, throwing ashes on him, with boils all over him after the enemy got through with him. And it says, in all of this, Job never cursed God or placed any blame on him. I would call that a faithful father. I would call that a faithful son to a faithful heavenly father. I would call that one who was sold out to the heavenly father. And there's nothing that can happen in this physical life that will change his heart. Faithful fathers. You see, that was part of the prayer earlier, Tommy, for faithful fathers. That we be faithful, even as our fathers were faithful, even as their fathers were faithful. Let us continue to pass the baton. Let us continue to pass on the inheritance. Let us continue to pass on the legacy. Because whether you look at it like that or not, that's exactly what it is. Sometimes that is all that the children have to base anything that they do on is what their fathers did, what their mothers did. Those whom they looked up to, as we look up to our Heavenly Father, they look up to us. Can I tell you that they'll believe you? Because that's what children do. They just believe. As a faithful follower of Jesus Christ and a child of the Most High God, we should just faithfully believe. Not just knowing about God, but knowing Him. Knowing Him because He is faithful to each and every one of us. Faithful. Faithful. Best interest at heart. Faithful fathers always set a good example. They always love. They always forgive. They always make a way. They always provide. Always. You can read it right there in Scripture. That's exactly what Job did for his kids. Turn with me to Luke 15. It's the last Scripture. See, we're almost on time. I'll never be accused of being on time. Most time I'm early. Luke 15. You got the lost sheep, you got the lost coin, and then you got the lost boy. A certain man had two sons. The younger one wanted all his inheritance. So the father, a faithful father, can I tell you something? That God will give you lots of stuff, even though it might not be good for you. He'll let you go and do, though it may not be good for you, because in the end, you're going to have to learn a very valuable lesson. So He gave him his portion. And what happened? The old lost son, he didn't know he was lost till he done throwed everything away. And he's sitting, eating with the pigs. Can I tell you, don't let it come to that point? I don't know about that pig food, but it don't smell good. But it says that he came to himself. He came to himself. You know, one day I woke up. It's like I'd been in this deep worldliness sleep. And all of a sudden that light shone in there and I woke up. And I found out that there was a faithful heavenly Father. Faithful. Can I tell you that this story here is more about the faithful Father than it is about the lost son? You think about it. You read the story. It's more about the faithful father. Can I tell you that before the boy ever got home, Daddy saw him. Said he saw him far off. I just have to believe in my own little believer that that dad went to the road every day, looking down that road, to see if he could see his son. You see, that's what a faithful father does. He's always looking for the best. He's always looking for that return. He's always looking for that one that is lost to be found. The one who is blind and now he sees. Just like our Heavenly Father. He is always looking for us to open our eyes and see the light and come alive. Can I tell you something, fathers? You do good by following God. Him alone. There's lots of good folks in this world, don't get me wrong, I understand that. But you see, we follow God, not other people. Now, if they're speaking the same as God, well, then they're following God too. So you don't have to follow people that are following God, you're still following God. But it's God whom we follow. You see, this boy had gone out and wasted all this living. Things that the father had worked so hard for. Just like our Heavenly Father sacrificed his only son. What a hard thing. What a hard thing. I can't even imagine that, can you? Can't even imagine that. But he sacrificed his only son for us? But he's still a faithful father. Faithful unto death. You see, we need to be doing the same thing for the generations to come. That we will be faithful in our walk with God. To show them the way. Because if we don't show them, folks, the world ain't going to show them. They're going to show them the wrong way. We need to be faithful in our walk with Him each and every day, every word we speak, wherever that we go. Because you never know who's watching you. There's lots of folks out there watching you that you don't even know that they're watching you. There could be that one that needs Jesus. Don't let that one time make you stray. Be the same every day, just like our faithful Father in heaven. Be the same. Be steadfast. Be unmovable in your faith. This is the day we celebrate Father's Day, but it's more about our Heavenly Father and how He and what He has done for us than our own earthly fathers. Because without Him, none of this would exist. None of this would even happen. So let's just thank Him. Let's thank Him. We're going to pray. I want you all to stand to your feet with me. And let's pray that we remain faithful. A faithful people, faithful to God, okay? If you feel like coming to these altars, you can. But let's just pray. Let's just pray this way. Father, first of all, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for being so faithful to us. Thank you, Lord, for the faithful fathers that have come before us. Thank you, Lord, for that faithfulness, Lord, that you have instilled in our hearts and in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for faithfulness, Lord, in this church, God. To step up, Lord, and to do your work, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the faithfulness, Lord, of each and every person here, Lord, to give into this church, Lord, that makes it a body of believers, Lord, that move forward and march in the spirit and the fear and the admonition of God, to see your will done, Lord, for this community, for souls to be saved, hearts to be changed, lives to be won, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be all of these things each and every day, Lord, that we set a faithful example of who we should be for those who come after us. I thank you, Father, for each and every faithful father in this place today. I thank you, Lord, for their heart. I thank you for the spirit. I thank you, Lord, for the work that they do. I thank you, Lord, for the steadfastness of spirit, Lord, that they have, Lord, in following after you, Lord, regardless of what happens. I ask you, Father, to speak to each and every one of their hearts, Lord. There be anything, Lord, let them lay it before you. Let their hearts, Lord, be cleansed, Lord, of anything, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. I know, Father, that you can help us, Lord, and you are so sweet, Holy Spirit. You are so gentle. I ask you, Father, to do these things today. Reach and touch them, Lord. Build them up, Lord, in the most holy faith that, Lord, they set the example, Lord, not only in their own households and in this church, but for this community and for any people, Lord, that they are around. I ask it all in the mighty and the precious name of Jesus, Lord, and I just give you all the praise and the glory and the honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen.